Welcome to the PeopleSoft Chat Podcast. Our guest this episode is Tammy Boyles, Product Management Director with Oracle PeopleSoft. And now, here's your podcast host, Senior Director of Product Strategy at Oracle, Robin Velaitum.
Welcome, everybody, to the PeopleSoft Chat Podcast. We have a very special guest with us today, Tammy Boyles from Oracle. Tammy, welcome to the PeopleSoft Chat Podcast.
Thanks, Robin. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so this is actually a landmark for our podcast series because this is the first time we've actually had somebody from our strategy team join us to do, join me also to do a recording like this. So thanks for doing that. And the topic we want to talk about today in particular is Secure 2.0. But before we get into that topic, why don't you maybe spend a few minutes telling everybody who you are and what your role is with Oracle?
Okay, great. Well, I'm Tammy Boyles, and I've been with Oracle about 8 years now. And before that, I was a customer for a very long time. I worked for a public sector and was lucky enough to be able to retire and come to work for Oracle, doing the fun things about PeopleSoft, and I've really enjoyed being here. I live in North Carolina, so this accent is real. It truly is how we talk in North Carolina. So if ever you see me at a conference or on another Zoom call, you'll be able to identify who I am pretty quickly.
Yeah, we loved having you on the team, Tammy. What's one thing that's really great about having former customers join the team is their perspective on not just what we deliver, but how we deliver it, and how we get feedback from customers, because you were on that side, right? And you kind of know what kind of works and what doesn't. And I think it just helps us overall figure out how we can do things better. And that's one great benefit of having former customers join.
Right. It's been an experience being on the other side.
We'll save that for a different podcast. How's that? Well, one of the areas that you're responsible for with PeopleSoft is benefits. It's a really big area because we have base benefits in PeopleSoft. We have benefits administration that many customers, particularly in the U.S., license and use. And then you've got all the changes that have been happening in benefits, which, you know, up until 2019, had been relatively quiet. But all of a sudden, with the first Secure Act that passed in 2019, and then all of a sudden we had the Secure 2.0 that passed in 2022, and all of those have changes that not only impact individual employees like us, but also our organizations that have to comply to those regulations. And many of those organizations are customers of ours, right? And kind of looking to us to see, well, what's going on? What are we going to do? So let's just start at the beginning, because it's a really big act, I know, overall, and it's actually in two pieces. But maybe let's start with the beginning and just share what you know Secure 2.0 to be.
All right. Well, first of all, Secure 2.0, a lot of people probably don't even know what that means. It actually represents setting every community up for retirement enhancement. And it was originally signed back in, I think, 2019 with an act by President Trump in December of 2019. And then in December of 22, a new legislation was tacked on to that. It became called Secure 2.0, and that it's really designed to make it more attractive for employers to offer retirement plans and easier for all employees to start saving. So there's like 92 provisions in it, and they affect a lot of different areas. And so it is a very large legislation that customers really need to be looking into and starting to understand.
Yeah, that's... The act itself with all those provisions. Now, not all of them pertain to our customers, right? I noticed there's provisions in there for small businesses with 50 or less employees, LLCs. But there's plenty of provisions that we think impact our organizations. But what overall, why do you feel, why does the Secure 2.0 Act matter to customers? Is it because there's so many provisions and it can pretty much impact all employees that that fall under our organization?
There are. And, you know, for instance, there are changes about in age nuances to the required minimum distribution that you hear. There's modifications to penalties and hardship distributions that are all even outside of what PeopleSoft really cares about and really handles. And so there's a lot more to this than the few things that you and I will probably touch on in this podcast. And because of that, customers really need to understand how it affects them. And they need to really be working with their legal teams and also their third-party providers, like whoever maybe handles their 401ks and that type of thing. Because there's just so many different nuances to this. You know, some are based on existing plans. Some are based on things that may be grandfathered in. It just gets very, very complicated.
Yeah. And I know you've been working diligently with our development team and product management team to review the act when it came out and start to keep up to date on any potential changes or any new information we may get from the different government agencies that have to administer this. So I know you guys have been on top of it. But having said that, we can't represent everything that's in the act, right? I mean, I think one of the things that you guys have done really well is focus in on what changes are happening that we potentially would need to make changes to our product. Because at the end of the day, that's what our customers are waiting on, right? Is what changes do they expect to get from us in the product to help them be compliant with Secure 2.0? So are there any particular, out of the 92 provisions, are there any particular sections or provisions that you are focused on because you feel like that's probably where we're going to make changes in PeopleSoft?
Yeah, there's a couple of different areas, and the biggest one is Section 603. And I know that sounds very techy when I say that. We're very technical, but that is probably the provision that really has most customers concerned and worried and, you know, trying to figure out how they're going to handle that. And that provision actually starts with an effective date of 12/31/23, or I should say after 12/31/23. So basically January 1st of 2024 is the start date of that. And so it's, you know, that's coming upon us really soon. And it is kind of complicated. Would you kind of like for me to explain what Section 603
is?
Yeah,
let's do that. Let's do that.
All right.
That's a good idea.
First of all, I want to state that what we're talking here kind of falls under the Oracle Safe Harbor statement, because we have an idea of what we want to do and how we're going to approach this. But we are waiting for the IRS to give us final information about what they expect. And without that final expectation, you know, things can change. And so I think it's very important for everyone who's listening to this podcast to understand that this is what we're doing as of today, but things can change tomorrow, or things may change in a month from now whenever we hear from the IRS. So I just want to kind of clarify that. But basically, kind of in layman terms, that Section 603 basically requires employees who participate in a 401k, a 403b, or a 457. So it affects all three of those different types of plans. If that employee is over the age of 50 and they make more than a specific amount in FICA earnings in the prior year, then they can only contribute their catch-up portion into a Roth after-tax fund. So basically what that means is if an employee is over 50 and the current limit is for the FICA earnings limit is $145,000. So if they make more than $145,000 of FICA earnings, then that extra catch-up limit, which today is $7,500, that $7,500 can only go into a Roth after-tax plan. It cannot go before tax, like it does today. So that's kind of the crux of the whole thing, is that for your higher earners, things are going to change.
Yeah, and Tammy, it sounds like maybe the tricky part of this is that FICA earning kind of threshold is not based on the current year, it's based on the previous years. Did I hear you right on that?
Yes, that's right. So on January 1st, 2024, you have to look back to January 31st, 2023. Well, that year just changed. And, you know, payrolls have not actually completed all of their information ready for W-2 processing. They may have payroll changes. They may, you know, have to do payroll year-end runs and that type of thing. They have to adjust payroll checks, that type. You know, so it really makes it difficult on January 1st, 2024 to actually know who it is that's affected by that $145,000 FICA limit. And so that's another issue that customers have to think about. When we first started talking about this, people kept asking me, how are we going to do this in open enrollment that they normally do in September, October, and November? And we were like, you can't do it then because you don't know who all is going to have hit that $145,000 limit. You know, a lot of people may not hit that limit until the last payroll of the year, or maybe they get a big bonus and they hit that limit, or maybe they have to have a payroll check reversed and now they don't hit the limit. So it gets very tricky there. And so most customers are going to have to really work between their payroll group and their benefits group to make sure that any adjustments they do at that year end, everybody knows about and everybody is aware of, because that could really change whether someone can contribute that extra catch-up money to a pre-tax or if it has to go into a Roth after-tax.
Right. And then the other thing that intrigues me is, what if the employee doesn't have a Roth account, right? And we're saying that amount needs to get, up to $7,500 needs to get rolled over to a Roth. Are customers getting employees to, or should customers get employees to open Roth accounts first if they think they're going to be impacted by this?
Well, that's one of the things we don't know today, how the IRS is going to be handling that. You know, we kind of heard rumors that the IRS is going to require everybody that wants to contribute into that Roth plan, you know, they're over 50 and they've met that $145,000 threshold and that, you know, they want to contribute, you're going to have to positively elect a Roth account. And that's one of the things we're actually waiting on to hear from the IRS, whether that is going to be a requirement or not. And that's one of the things that makes it a little more complicated. Now, I know that some organizations that we've talked to, they've said that it doesn't matter what the IRS says about that, they're going to require their employees to enroll. And because they want to know that people really understand that all this extra money, this catch-up money, is going into a Roth account and not misunderstand that it's not working like it did last year.
Right. Yeah. And then do you get a sense of whether you think both the FICA threshold of $145,000 and the catch-up limit at $7,500 would possibly change over time, go higher or go lower? Or are we pretty confident that that number is going to stay consistent for a while?
No, well, we have no idea because almost every year, they change the limits. So, for instance, this year for 2023, the $22,500 is the limit for anybody to contribute to their 401k or their 403b or their 457 plan as an individual. Well, normally that changes every year. So we anticipate that amount will change over time. We don't know if it'll change next year yet until that comes out. We don't know if the $145,000 will change. It does say that they're kind of indexing that, like they index the $22,500. So I would say it will probably change. And so in doing that, what we're looking at is updating the limit table, and we're going to provide configurable fields there so that each customer can go in to their limit tables and they'll have a place to put that raw threshold. That's kind of what we're calling it. I don't know that that's the exact term, but they can put in that amount. And then we're going to be adding fields for the age limit, because there is another provision that comes out, and it's in Section 109, and it's not effective until 2025. But for people that are age 60, 61, 62, and 63, there will be different amounts that can be contributed versus people that are 50 and people that are over 64. So in doing that, we're going to actually add more configuration to that page while we're in there. We just think it makes sense. We know that that's the law is what it is saying is going to happen. So we're going to go ahead and make that configuration, and people will be ready for that when it comes. And that way they don't have to take up another piece at that point.
Right. And then, so that would be, that would solve the problem of if the changes happen later, if the threshold changes, customers can just go in and make a change to the limit table, and then even to the age limit, and then they don't have to wait for changes from us, right?
That's correct. That's right. Correct. In fact, we do not deliver the threshold amounts. The customers have to go in and put them in themselves, and so they're already going in every year to that limit table and putting the maximum amount, which is the $22,500 this year for all employees. So they're already going in there. So this just gives them a place to, they have one place to go to put in all the limit changes that they need to do every year.
Gotcha. And so then once we have the table set up, then what are we anticipating changing to use those numbers, I guess, once they're in the tables?
We're also going to update the savings age catch-up extension page, but we're going to change that, and there's an underlying app engine that goes under there, and it will use that new configuration table. And what this savings age catch-up extension page does, it's going to update the benefits savings management page. So for people that are over 50 with the catch-up limit, it will then identify those who have the prior year FICA earnings over the limit, $145,000 right now, and help customers to do so that they can identify those people. And then there's some other changes that we'll be making. Probably we'll talk about those as well. Now, the one caveat about this is that customers that are using payroll for North America will be able to identify your tax earnings. If customer uses payroll interface, where we don't have the numbers for FICA earnings, then they can still use that page, but they'll have to manually update their employees because we don't have that data to populate it. But we do have a way for them to manually update that information.
Gotcha. And then for those customers that are using benefits administration, what can they expect from us?
Well, because we're not sure what the IRS is going to require, and we do know that some customers will want to do that positive data, that positive entry into Roth anyway, what we're doing is on that benefits savings management table, we're giving them the ability to create a BAS activity for Roth enrollment. And so basically, if when customers run that savings age catch-up extension page and that underlying app engine that's there, then it will actually create a BAS activity for them, for those employees that are over 50 and have hit that FICA limit. And then the customers can then use that BAS activity enrollment to then create the process for the enrollment. And they'll use BAS activity just like they do today. You know, like when someone moves from part-time to full-time and they need to enroll in new benefits, it would work the very same way. So, and customers will be able to kind of automate that enrollment process by identifying who they are.
Man, that sounds great.
And again, that's only for BIN admin customers. So,
right. You know, as you're describing this, I'm starting to feel a little bit more comfortable with kind of the changes that we're expecting, especially when it comes to the 603. So I wonder, though, is kind of the anxiety, collective anxiety that's out there with our customers, more along the lines of we don't know what additional changes may be coming up? Because it sounds like you have a really good understanding of not only what the 603 provision is, but what type of changes we need to make, right?
Right, right. And I think it's because the first question everybody asked me is, when are you going to deliver this?
Right.
And unfortunately, we don't know. Again, we're waiting on the IRS to give us the final recommendations about what they're expecting for people to happen. You know, we just really can't give out code yet, because what if the IRS comes up and says, oh, we're doing Z instead of X and Y that we thought they were doing? And then, you know, customers would have that code and they'd have to back it out. And just all the confusion around that would be just terrible. So we really are stuck waiting for the IRS to give us more information. And as soon as we get that information, we're going to work as quickly as we can to make sure that what we are thinking we're going to do will be able to be sent out. And we will do it as a PRP. So we do know that it will not be in an image. It will come out as a PRP. It will not be part of the tax update. So it will be separate from those. But our customers really understand how to put in tax updates, and basically, that's the same thing for the PRP. So it also gets that out to them as soon as we possibly can. We're not going to wait for an image, of course. So we'll get it to them as fast as we possibly can, because we know they need it. We know they need to test it. They're going to have to set up some things like their Roth BAS activity. There are some customers who are going to have to set up Roth plans. They may not even have a Roth plan, and they'll have to set that up in the system. And so they're also going to have to start talking to their employees about the expectation for those that are over 50 and have that FICA limit over $145,000, and what those employees can understand is going to happen with that $7,500 extra contribution that before was going to before tax, and now it has to go into that Roth plan.
Right. Yeah. I mean, communication to the employees early wouldn't be a bad idea, especially if there are folks that haven't been paying attention to this act and are over 50, you know, and would be impacted by this. It's good to kind of get some of that information in their hand, even if we don't have the changes delivered yet in the system. And the thing I wanted to mention about the PRP process, so for us, we use the PeopleSoft release patch process when we have to get something out to customers right away. Whether it's a fix, whether it's a compliance issue like this, or just a new feature that needed to get done in between our regular image releases, we'll use the PRP, and customers are very familiar with that process. And like you said, Tammy, it's the fastest way that we can get a feature like this to customers. And it's unencumbered by maybe any overhead that would be as part of an image or part of a tax update. You know, it's just an individual PRP specifically just for this. So that is the plan, and makes it a lot easier for us to turn around as quickly as possible. So then the question I have for you, Tammy, given what we just talked about, what suggestions do you have for customers to prepare? So we talked a little bit about maybe them notifying employees and letting them know, affected employees, let them know that it's coming. But what other types of suggestions do you have for customers as they prepare for this change?
Well, first of all, I've just been telling customers, read that bill. There is a bill out there and they can read it. And then they need to work with their legal team and their third-party savings management partners. You know, and I do know that some of our customers have unions, and what they have stipulated with their unions may be a little bit different and may be affected by Secure 2.0 Act is requiring them to do. So they just really, there's a lot of things that are outside of PeopleSoft that they need to make sure that they understand because they're responsible for that in the end. Secondly, you know, we talked a little bit about education. I think that one's going to be a big one. I think it's going to be a complete surprise to many of those higher rate wage earners who have been used to putting that catch-up amount into before tax and saving that, save, you know, that tax shelter there. And now they're going to lose that. So I think that's a really big one. You know, I listen to the news and I never hear anything about this. We heard a little bit about it at the beginning of the year, but there hasn't been a lot of talk on the news about this. And so I'm just really afraid people are going to be astonished about this, the regulations and the changes in the regulations. And then thirdly, be prepared to take up that PRP as soon as possible. You know, you'll have to set up your tables and create your BAS activity. And you may, and again, you may need to set up those Roth plans. And then the fourth thing I always tell people is to monitor legislative updates. You know, we don't have a hotline to the IRS. So if they see something before we do, you know, please let us know. Let us know what you're seeing and what you're hearing. There's, you know, Robin, there was even some updates that I saw coming through that like 200 large organizations across the country had signed a petition to the IRS to ask them to actually delay the date of the start of this because of the complications of this process that we have. You know, will that happen? Who knows? If you find out before I do, that would be a great early Christmas present for us all. But,
right.
You know.
Yeah, it seems like all these types of changes end up coming during the worst time, right? End of the year when you've got so many other HR and payroll and benefits related processing to happen. So I'm sure there's some people who will be more than thrilled if this got pushed off. But the intent of the bill, I think, makes sense. And overall, like all the provisions that are in there to help people save, because a lot of people don't even sign up for 401ks, which to me is just, it's just insane not to take advantage of a great program like that. But so there's some good things in the bill, but there's also things that affect all the organizations and affect us with these changes. Once we can get our questions answered as far as how, because it impacts how we code the changes, once those questions get answered, I think we'll all be in a better place and less anxious about it, right?
Right, exactly. But yeah, there's more to come. So we'll have some things that come out next year because, as you said, there are some changes that are mandatory if you have new plans that will require automatically enrolling new employees. So that's something to kind of be on the lookout in the future. But the intimate one is Section 603. That's the one that we all need to really be paying attention to and understanding what we're going to do.
Yeah, makes total sense. So, you know, as I hear about talking about in terms of what we're planning on doing and what's still left for us to do, I think about customers wanting to know more about this, right? So you and I decided a little over a week ago, like, hey, how about we do a quick podcast, because you're getting tons of questions, right, about this, and many of the questions are the same questions. So we thought trying to maybe at least have this podcast as a starting point would be great for customers to kind of get an overview of what's going on and what we're planning. But where else or what else can customers refer to get more detail about what we're planning on doing and where we're going with it?
There's blogs out there. I've written about two or three blogs. Probably another one will be coming relatively soon. I even wrote a blog last week to announce that we're doing a Quest webinar, Secure 2.0, and specifically Section 603. So folks can register for that. It's on August the 15th at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, but it is being recorded so people can can go back to the recording and listen to that as well. We're going to, again, talk about what we're planning. Can change, but at least to let people know that we are planning something. We do have a plan. We have an idea of how we want to do this, so, and make it easier for everybody.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, for those of you who maybe aren't familiar with the blogs, if you go to blogs.oracle.com/peoplesoft, you'll see all the different blogs that our team has posted, and Tammy has a couple specifically about Secure 2.0, and then she mentioned Quest. So we use Quest sometimes to do webinars for PeopleSoft customers because they can help us get it recorded and get it out to the masses a lot quicker. So you can always do a quick search on Quest webinar, Secure 2.0 PeopleSoft. I'm sure those keywords it'll pop up, and it'll be set up so that even if you missed the live recording, which will happen in August, you can certainly attend and listen to the recording of it. So that'd be helpful. Well, Tammy, as we wrap up here, what, if anything, you want to leave as kind of a last message for customers when it comes to Secure 2.0?
That's about the only thing I can say. Be patient, check our blogs, listen to the Quest webinar, and again, check the blog.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is up-to-the-minute stuff, right? So that's one of the best places for us to update, keep customers up to date, is the blogs. As things shake out, we'll definitely update everyone there. Well, Tammy, it's been my pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me today.
Well, thanks for allowing me to be here as well.
Yeah, this is great. I appreciate it. And I want to thank everyone for listening and for your support. Don't forget to help spread the word about the PeopleSoft Chat podcast and contact me with your suggestions for future guests and topics. Until then, be well and be safe.
Thank you for listening to the PeopleSoft Chat podcast. If you have any feedback or questions, please feel free to reach out to Robin over email at robin.belitem@oracle.com.